All right. Thank you for being here, guys. So today we're here to meet for the Reedley Planning Commission regular meeting for Thursday, October 1st. And if everybody doesn't mind, let's go ahead and stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready? So that I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, thank you. All right, Ellen, can you get a roll call for attendance, please?
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutierrez?
Here.
Commissioner Hudson?
Here.
Commissioner Perez?
Here.
Chairman Custodio?
Here. So the next portion is just the public comments, and we're going to be able to have that presented as soon as staff gives its report. But it provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the Planning Commission on items of interest to the public within the commission's jurisdiction, and which are not already on the agenda this evening. We'll have some, regulations and procedures how to do that when that time comes, and I'll go ahead and address those when we have that public comment portion. Is there any comments from the public of items that are not on the agenda tonight? Okay, let's go ahead and move on. Next, I wanted to go ahead and bring to the commission's attention the consent agenda for September, regular meeting September 3rd of this year, recommending to approve.
Actually, I'd like to pull that item just because there was an error, so I wanted to correct that and then bring it back at the next meeting if the commission so wishes.
I don't see a problem with that, so we'll go ahead and approve it at the next meeting. Is that okay?
Yes.
Can we get a aye from everyone?
Aye.
Or an aye?
Aye.
Okay. All right, so now it is the public hearing portion, and this is staff giving a presentation for the consent agenda items listed today. So, Ellen, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the Planning Commission. Ellen Moore, Assistant Planner with the Community Development Department. Item number two is consideration of a conditional use permit application number 2015-3, which is proposing to install microwave radio equipment on the Reedley Water Towers in downtown to provide access to wireless internet facilities. To provide a bit of a background, there is existing equipment on the water tower right now. One of the pieces of the equipment is our SCADA system, which provides it provides data and sends data around for our water systems. So if there's any problems or issues or anything, that equipment is on the tower so that it can be communicated through computers to see if there's any problems with water system and data, and just to make sure that everything's operating correctly. So that is already on the water towers right now. Also, there is existing wireless facility equipment on there. So the city of Reedley is leasing out that space and that equipment for another wireless internet provider. And so basically what's happening is there's just going to be a change of equipment, and it's going to be to a new leasee, if you will. So the equipment that's on there now, that's for the existing wireless facility that's been there for 9 years, that is going to be taken down and replaced with the wireless equipment that's shown on the in this application. And so the applicant provided this image just showing from the line of sight. So if you're walking down the rail to trail and looking up and seeing the water towers, this is the scale of the equipment that's going to be on there. And so similar to the equipment that's there now, you can't really see it from the street or from the trail unless you really look at it. And so this is going to be very similar, and there won't be a change in there won't be a change in the visual impact on the water tower, as you can see, because from this line of sight, the applicant actually had to kind of make the proposed equipment, had to color it white on there, but it'll be an off-white color. And then they also provided the red circles and had to point to it. And that's kind of the extent of how small the equipment will be from the ground. So there won't be a physical impact to have this equipment on there. And then there is also proposed to be an equipment cabinet on the ground, but it is going to be in that enclosed fence area where the water towers are now, and there's slats in the chain link fence, so there will further not be visual impact there because it's already screened. And the and then the equipment itself will be housed in that equipment cabinet. And that that elevation is included in the staff report, as well as the drawn site plans of the current equipment that you see in that picture. So basically, there will be five, they're called access points here, and then there will be, and one of the access points will be specific to the city of Reedley. So the city of Reedley will get free internet access as a result of this project. And that will be used for City Hall, for police and fire communications, public safety communication. So all of the city of Reedley will utilize this, the internet service. And also something to note is that the cable runs, they'll be hidden behind existing infrastructure. So as you can see, the equipment is attached to the safety railing around the water towers, and then the wires will not be visible as well. Just to point that out. And so, so that is just showing the visual representation of what the equipment will be. And so staff's recommendation is to approve the environmental assessment showing that it's exempt from CEQA, and then to approve the conditional use permit application. And so that concludes staff's report. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Ellen, I have one. Sure. So thank you for the visual. That helps a lot for the towers. But also, there's going to be a box added to the mm-hmm. bottom on the ground. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
Is there other equipment already from other agencies on that, on the ground next to where this proposed?
Not that I recall. I do know that there are some structures in that area. Are you referring to what any wireless facilities?
I see PG&E.
Uh-huh.
I see PG&E already has an entry board there. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're adding something that wouldn't already be there.
Correct.
Like adding another
a PG
like a box to that area that has never been added to at that point.
That's correct. Yeah. So there will be that addition to the cabinet, but it'll be tying into the PG&E electric communications or okay. electric utilities that they have there currently. Yes.
As Ellen mentioned, the existing arrays that are on the structure now from the old vendor, they do have some ground equipment that will also be removed. So really that whole entire system, both the antenna or arrays and what's on the ground, will be removed and then replaced with the new vendor's equipment in the exact same similar space constraints.
And this is, I'm sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
But you were done. You said you only had one thing.
Yeah, I know. That's what happened.
So my only question was, the purpose for the change is to upgrade equipment and stay ahead of technology, or is there an added benefit to making a change?
The change, I think it's just to change leases and to provide, basically the only change, because there is internet access that is being provided now, but it's just changing the provider.
I see.
Mm-hmm. That was my question. So.
The, if you don't mind,
go for
just for a little more context to that. So the old provider's lease had expired. Okay. There were also some terms in that lease that had not been met.
Okay.
So the city went out and explored with other providers what they could, what services could be provided to the city. This particular provider will provide a revenue stream that will do a couple of things. The revenue stream in and of itself will go into the water fund, which is what supports the maintenance of the towers already, so that's a really good thing, we think. It also will provide, as Ellen mentioned, enhanced communication and wireless internet capabilities for public safety police, fire, as well as all of our public utilities are all connected. And so one of those antennas or dishes, which are only 2 feet wide, will actually be dedicated solely to city services. So that will enhance our services as well as increase a revenue stream. That was not in the previous agreement, you know, with a different provider.
Okay.
As well as a provider not providing.
Anyway.
Anyway.
Did we have a substantial increase in revenue now compared to what we had before?
You know, that's really a Paul question, one that we're just worried about use and visual impacts. I think it was, I don't know what significant means. Any new revenue that will be consistent for a significant period of time is pretty important to us. The agreement, presuming that the Planning Commission were to approve this particular conditional use permit, then I know that the agreement between provider and the city will go to the City Council for approval, that the contractual component aspect of it. When it becomes available, I'm more than happy to ship it around to all the planning commissioners, so that should be able to answer your question. I don't know the exact dollar amounts, sorry.
Any other questions, concerns? Okay, thank you, Ellen.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So now we come to a portion of the meeting here for allowing public comment. So I'm gonna go ahead and say a couple words here. That way we know and we keep it structured. But the speakers here should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes, so I'm gonna keep that timed myself. And no more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. This will give you guys, give the public an opportunity to voice your opinions and give you enough time and enough time so we will not be here all night. So these parameters are already in the actual procedures here. I do ask if you do want to come up, if you can provide your name and address, if you feel comfortable with that, or if you're just a resident, and then you can go ahead and proceed. So whoever would like to come up, this is the time.
Good afternoon, I'm Kenneth Zeck, 482 South Redwood Drive in Reedley. Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, I just learned about this proposal last evening, and to be quite candid, haven't had a chance to carefully consider the pros and cons. I hope that you have had the time, and if you have not, you will. I'm glad that Ms. Moore and Mr. Fidibino addressed visual concerns, because I think that is a central issue here, because these are not just two water towers. In the City of Reedley's Rail Corridor Master Plan, they use the language, Reedley's twin water towers are a community landmark, and that is absolutely correct. They are a landmark. Those are iconic symbols of Reedley, not unlike, not unlike the Transamerica Pyramid is to San Francisco. Even the City of Reedley, on its homepage to its website, uses the towers as an iconic symbol of Reedley. We see it on the wall of council chambers. And so one of the questions that you do need to consider, absolutely, is whether the residents of Reedley, the citizens of Reedley, will consider the adding of this equipment to be a defacement of their landmark. So you need to be carefully consider this and make sure that what you see on the pictures is actually what's going to occur in fact. It is a landmark. I would add that it's historically significant as a landmark as well. Reedley was incorporated in 1913, and certainly the central issue that drove people to vote in favor of incorporation was the need for municipal government to provide for the infrastructure to be built and maintained for a thriving community. In 1913, the city trustees immediately, these newly elected trustees, immediately took action to acquire what was then a private water system to become a municipal system. And the very next year, they erected that first tower. That was 1914. And 9 years later, 1923, they built the second tower. This, when I see it, I see the history of Reedley and something that's symbolic of the incorporation of this community, the incorporation as a city, and of the providing of city services. So make sure that whatever you do will not deface that landmark in the eyes of the residents of Reedley. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kenneth.
Mr. Chairman, can I make a comment?
Sure, absolutely.
I wish to echo the comments of Ken. As you're well aware, when we get a project, we circulate that project for comment, as our standard procedure. And it is the department staff that explicitly wrote a comment that is in the public record that speaks to the visual impacts. So I bring that up because I do wish to echo Ken's comment. Staff is equally as concerned, and we think that is a central issue before you tonight, is visual impacts. I can assure you we would not be here if we didn't think that the impacts are negligible. I think by looking at that picture, one, I guarantee you 9 years ago when they erected the system that's on the tower now, they were not required to do a CEUP. They were not, a public hearing was not held, and it just happened. And so I think it does echo kind of a different day in Reedley that here we sit in a public forum having this discussion, as well as staff's cognizance of you know, what the central theme is. So I just wanted to thank you, because we are on the same page.
Anthony Jewell, 625 West Ponderosa, Reedley. Thank you, Mr. Zek, for your comments relative to what I believe is probably an iconic signature to the skyline of this community. Many, many photographs, as well as drawings, paintings, and other artistic works have included those towers as part of the description of this city. So it is important. It's also important, this meeting is also important in that it, unusually, in that it reflects the public's interest in the history of this community. This hasn't always occurred. And I'd like to point out that transparency in this community and this city government has been lacking in the past, and it has caused us much grief. So I hope that you recognize that your responsibilities here today are significant. You probably need to write this date down. You were here on this date when our city actually fessed up to the fact that they do have to respond to the citizens. This is their community. About the towers, I have no opposition to these microwave dishes at all. I just hope that perhaps you can cause them to at least color match the towers. I could, of course, ask for something historically significant. If you could give us a vintage microwave dish that reflects the age, that, of course, isn't possible either. 1913 microwave dishes would be a real treat. I don't think we could do that. I have heard Mr. Favino mention several times about the revenue stream. These towers have not always been something that this community wanted to keep, at least the city hall. The citizens like the towers, but city hall has looked several times at doing away with these, because like everything in city government, it's an expense. It's a maintenance cost. So when I heard this term revenue stream, I thought, finally, there's going to be some revenue that will pay for the maintenance and upkeep of these sometimes considered eyesores and things that should be torn down and done away with. But look at this positively. We actually have two towers that can support these microwave antennas that will improve emergency communication to the community. This is a win-win-win. I would hope, however, that you would pay attention to the fact in terms of the appearance of these things that they do not reflect the commercial interests of other commercial companies. So we don't want to see someone's beer logo or, I think you got the idea.
Yeah.
Okay. The Historic Society is located beneath the towers, and I hope you can find some way to benefit the Historical Society. If they're microwave, gosh, at least maybe you guys could give them internet service or something. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can we speak up on that?
Mm-hmm.
About the history? Did you get any feedback on from anybody in the community?
This is one of those, I suspect probably the majority of the community doesn't even know that those antennas are up there. And so...
Well, I did not know.
Again, I can only echo, staff has been very, very sensitive to, the impacts of the new equipment that will go up. And I think I echo also what Mr. Jewell mentioned. I think for staff, it's been a real struggle. You know, you want to create the revenue stream for public health and safety issues. We all want our police officers and our fire departments and, dispatched in the most efficient way, and communication is the way we do that. Yet at the same time, we have a historic resource that's also very important. We have we are limited in the city of Reedley by the fact that we do not have a lot of tall buildings. So, it's not like, we could just take this and move it on top of Burgess Hotel or, really kind of any other two-story structure that kind of is a typical 45, 50-foot top of a building. So there, it was somewhat complex in that respect. We are very much aware of the importance of those towers. And I know Ellen and I had quite a number of discussions about how does this all work out and how can we write conditions to ensure that, this kind of is preserved. One of the things that we are very concerned with and we talk about regularly is the lattice tower that's on the school district. I don't know if anybody knows that there's even a lattice tower there, but there is. And believe it or not, that lattice tower, every time a new carrier wants to come in and put a drum up there, it is a huge expense because the lattice tower was not originally designed for those loads. And so now every time somebody comes in, they bear a huge expense in not only erecting whatever their equipment is, but fortifying the structure in and of itself. We have, amongst staff at least, that is not the goal here. We do not see, nor do we support the littering of those features in any way. But we do think this is important. We do think that the 2-foot diameter dishes really, I don't think most people are really ever going to notice them or see them. We will have additional conversation with the carrier, and if there's any way they can paint them gray to match the tank or whatever we can do, we're more than happy to carry your comments forward to them and see if we can get them to blend in a little bit more. Did that answer your question?
Actually, that was exactly what I was going to ask for. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Kevin, given Ken and Tony's comments, are the details of how it's going to look or be constructed or whatever placed, is that in the contract that's going to the council, or is there anything more than what we heard or seen here today?
So.
As far as the detail.
Okay, so the.
Conditions.
The conditions are before you approving the project, and they are required.
There's no further detail to that.
So let's kind of, this is actually kind of gonna go forward in three steps. The first step is the planning commission from a land use component. Do you even approve of this? And yes, there's visual impacts to consider. There's all things we've been discussing in the whole gambit as we've talked this evening. Should you approve this project, then the next step will be at city council, and the city council to enter into a lease agreement with that vendor. Presuming that that occurs, and I don't want, there's no preconceived, you know, anything at this point. If the council approves that agreement, then the contractor will be obligated to come in and provide and pull building permits. And one of the components of that building permit will be to provide to the city, as any other building project would be, to assure the city that the existing structure will structurally support what is being put up there. If not, then they'll have to make those modifications. And then that's when we're gonna have to figure out what that's gonna look like. We don't think that there will be any significant need to change, you know, anything other than kind of bracketing those things on. We have talked to, and I am absolutely sure that the provider knows without saying that there is an expectation that all of the cables will be hidden, not hanging
visible.
Off, not visible. So there are a lot more steps, but in order to go through this process and as Mr. Jewell said, to be transparent, the first step is right with this body and to have it approved from a land use perspective. The rest is all for naught. As a matter of fact, we've even held off, we've asked that other departments wait for your decision before they go to council. We didn't want to be preemptive or presumptuous. So you're the first stop, then the second will be the council with the contract, then the third would be building permits.
So it reaches the stage three. Is there enough teeth in the code to say you need to visually make it look this way?
Absolutely. There's no question.
Is that when you guys communicate and say, this is what we need, this is
yeah.
what we want, but it has to get to that point?
Yeah. Remember, one of the nice things in our department is, I was gonna say we're small, but we really do work well together and it's all under one umbrella. So when the building permits come in, we have a process where that building, you know, whatever they give us, will be routed to Ellen for her comment and approval. You know, Gary can't issue and won't issue a building permit without planning's approval based on obviously the conversation, but more importantly, what they've represented to us in the diagrams, the conditions of approval, the application, those kinds of things. If they're not, then I usually get called or we'll sit down or we'll figure it out. I can tell you, it was staff truly that brought up the visual impacts early on. So we are keenly aware of everything and anticipated everything that was really kind of the comments that we knew was a central issue of the project. So again, we're keenly aware of watching the project, paying attention to the project, and watching it proceed to an end result that is the expectation of everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Anyone else in the public would like to say anything? Okay. Thank you. I want to thank staff just for this report and just the hours of just putting this together. I myself do trust that you guys know what the concerns are, as well as the community's concerns, and I trust that all those will be taken consideration. That was my, when I read this last week, was visual and landmark and just concerns, and you guys addressed that, so I really appreciate that, and I appreciate the comments from the public. I think we all share the same thing, even though I wasn't here in 1913 or I wasn't here in 1980 something, so but I do appreciate that. Yes, sir. No, no, I'm not saying that. No, absolutely not. I wouldn't. No.
Thanks, Tony. I was going to say, if he was, he looks pretty good, huh?
So, saying that, I'm going to go ahead and recommend that we approve and we vote on this resolution. So, let me go ahead and go through this. Resolution number 2015-15, a resolution of the City of Reedley Planning Commission approving conditional use permit application number 2015-3 and relative environmental assessment number 2015-21 in regards to the two existing twin water towers here in Reedley. Can I get a motion to approve?
Make a motion that we approve.
Can I get a second?
A second.
Okay. Can you get a roll call, please?
Commissioner Brett Perez.
Yes.
Commissioner Bercellis.
Yes.
Commissioner Gutierrez.
Yes.
Commissioner Hudson.
Yes.
Chairman Custodio.
Yes. Thank you. We're going to continue with our meeting. If you guys want to stay, you can. We're going to talk about some other stuff, but thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Ellen, you have the floor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on to item number 3, which is similar equipment being installed on the Reedley Sports Park water tower. So I did want to provide the image that's also in the staff report, and there isn't the visual representation that you got from the sports park, I mean from the water towers in Reedley, just because if you look at the bottom right hand corner of that photograph and then you look at where the antennas or the equipment actually will be, you wouldn't even be able to see it from the ground. So just wanted to clear that up there, but the antennas or the dish equipment will be on the safety railing, but because the top of the water tower is so wide, you wouldn't be able to see the equipment from there. So didn't think that part was necessary, but this is showing an aerial view of where the equipment is being located. And there's a couple more antennas or access points, if you will. And there is the backbone for this, and it also connects to the water towers that we were just discussing in downtown Reedley. So same wireless facility provider, same idea and same intent as the equipment and on the water tower, but this is kind of a supplement to that, and it also extends the range from the sports park area and beyond, and then it connects it to the downtown towers. And that's about it for this one. And this is also exempt from CEQA. If you have any specific questions about this site, I'll be happy to answer them. That concludes my report.
I'm sorry. Is there already equipment up there on this one?
I don't think so. Yeah. To be honest with you, so. I don't know.
No. Just the SCADA.
Oh, just the SCADA system. Okay. Thank you.
It's kind of cool out there.
Nice.
I can show you pictures.
Well, we have a, I don't remember now. We're not going to have a cabinet on this one?
No.
Inside here?
It'll be on the inside, yeah. So it's the equipment is going to be added, or the electrical component will be added inside the water tower. So there isn't any cabinets or anything being proposed on the outside.
So all the, and they have not been in there, all the electrical panels and all that is in one area, is that correct?
Yeah, it's
of
in
the
one.
Tower?
Mm-hmm. I think it's up against the wall too. So if you see, look at Exhibit B for
yes.
this one, yeah, there it's showing where the cabinet is, and it's going to be mounted on the inside there.
All righty.
Mm-hmm. And it is all in the same place. And then also fun fact, just to confirm why these are separate, because it is kind of the same intent and same idea, but they are separate just because the conditional use permits run with the land, and this was kind of something that we had talked about last time. So because there are different locations, we did want to have them as separate conditional use permits, and we also have separate resolutions, as you probably figured out, but just wanted to clear that up is why they're separate.
But the function, it serves the same function.
Correct, yeah. So, but some things could be a little different just based on the location itself. And so then when the building permits are pulled, there will be a building permit for this tower here, and then there will be building permits pulled for the two water towers in downtown. So just keeping them separate. They are linked, but they will be treated separately for our purposes.
Not being familiar with some of this equipment, I'm disappointed that the range of these microwaves aren't what they should be, in mm-hmm. my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's possible to increase the range where it would actually benefit rural Reedley as well. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But is that feasible? Is that something you folks would know?
It's not something that I would know, unfortunately, but I'm guessing that if you're wanting to extend the range, you might have to increase the size of the equipment, which would potentially create a visual impact, you know, depending on how large the dish has to be or how large the equipment has to be. But that's a guess of mine.
It may be, too, that anything outside of, it's not under the control of the city, then, anything outside.
True.
Mm-hmm. So if I can add, yeah. So when Ellen made reference to the backbone, what that really is a repeating system, which is all based on line of sight. That's why the height is so important. So basically it comes off the mountain, it hits the top of the tower, and then repeats that signal onto other destinations. Mm-hmm. From there, it's also spun off to the smaller dishes. There's a real science as to the range that they will cover. Like any business, they will only cover the range in which services is needed and or financially viable. And so I think we're very happy they're here, and we're very happy that it will be a significant improvement. But we really were more concerned about just city services and things like that. So that's kind of how the system works, but as far as a determinant as to, you know, a wider range, meaning, you know, like, I can't even think of a place like halfway to Dinuba or halfway to mm-hmm. Orange Cove or something, we'll leave that up to other people to figure that out.
Future folks?
Yeah, we'll future folks. So as we grow, you know, that may be viable one of these days.
So this service is not for the public to tap into?
Actually, some of it is.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. Like, for example, of the five, and correct me, Ellen, if I go wrong, of the five dishes, only one of those dishes on the towers mm-hmm. is specifically related to city use. The okay. other four are for the public domain.
Okay.
Which will mean your cell phones and all that stuff will work. Computers and Wi-Fi and all that. All you can Instagram from anywhere now.
I don't Instagram. I Twitter. Just kidding. Yeah. Good job. All right. Thank you, Ellen.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and move. If there's no other questions or concerns, go ahead and move to vote on this resolution. So we have resolution number 2015-16, a resolution of the City of Reedley Planning Commission approving conditional use permit application number 2015-4 and environmental assessment number 2015-22 in regards to the existing Reedley Sports Water Tower. Could I get a motion to approve, please?
I just for the record, we didn't have we didn't open for the public. I know there's nobody here, but yeah. Do we need to do that?
In light of your comments that nobody is here except staff, no.
Okay.
So let's put that on the record. There's no one here to comment on the second issue here involving the Reedley Sports Water Tower. So can I get a motion to approve, please?
I so move.
Could I get a second?
Second.
All right, could I get a roll call, please, Helen?
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutierrez?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Chairman Hudson? Oh, dang it, Chairman Custodio.
Yes.
Sorry.
He needs to be chairman again. All right, Kevin, you're gonna go ahead and present agenda number four.
Yeah, if planning commissioners, if you just indulge me for 1 second, I want to give Ellen kudos for her managing, leading, and getting these last two projects to you this evening. To deal with the technology, to gain an understanding of how a wireless works, to juggle the interests of the public, to deal with the cast of community members that you saw here this evening, to deal with public service and police and trying to get everybody kind of, if you will, heard in the right direction is a pretty tall order, and she's done a great job. So that being said, before you this evening is the fourth item on your agenda. If you would be kind enough to simply open up your packets, there's a territory and vicinity map, and I can walk you through what we're doing and what the request is before you, but that map will be really helpful. If you notice in the map, the subject territory is bound by Dinuba, Fisher, Hemlock. You also have the trail and a ponding basin to the south. The story goes like this. This area is in the county. There is an opening of approximately 86 feet. Historically, the residents, tried and true, have loved their county life, if you will. And as much as the city of Reedley has grown up around them, i.e. you've got development to the north, a lot of the single family, you've got the Living Center. To the east, you've got Growens. To the west, you have another manufacturer. And I tell you all this because these folks are, and currently are in the county. The kind of barren area that's in the top right-hand corner of the subject territory, a developer came in and is interested in developing that piece of property. And in order for the city to provide services, we can only provide services to folks that are in the county. So staff spent a fair amount of time visiting with the developer, the two landowners, wonderful people, I will add, who live on the west side, and then also a lot of discussion with Growens, who owns the 9-acre piece that's actually to the south. So as we stand right now, their staff has prepared an annexation application to go forward, which will bring in this entire territory. Staff has actually gone out and we have worked with those two landowners that are single family residents. I'll say we've actually crafted covenants to memorialize, should they come into the city, when they will convert to city services, how they will convert to city services. It provides assurances to us that we now will require the developer to give water and sewer hookups to these folks. So again, we've tried to make everybody whole in this transaction. So that being said, as we always try to make sure that, because you're the experts of land use, as much as it does take the council's authority to submit to LAFCO an application, we wanted to make sure that we stopped here and presented this to you. These properties, in terms of the annexation process, were actually part of the community-wide rezone program. So they have already been pre-zoned as a ML, light manufacturing zone district, and that is consistent with what the general plan calls for. So we've got consistent with the general plan, We've got pre-zoning, which is the first step in the annexation process. We have 100% consent from, so all of the landowners are consenting to come into the city. And so we're actually pretty excited. This was like working out pretty good. So that being said, we're here before you this evening to ask you to recommend to the city council the approval of the application, approval of the negative declaration. We did a neg deck on this. We do believe that it is consistent with the general plan and that the general plan mitigation measures as applied to any future projects that will come forth, as well as any requirements of the zoning code should minimize any impacts. If not, we'll look at them. We'll do additional CEQA analysis and bring that back to you as necessary. So we think we've got all the ducks in a row, if you will, both statutorily as well as just procedurally to move forward. We have had, just as a sidebar, we've discussed this project with both the county and LAFCO. They're both supportive. This project is a little bit unique in that, as you may know, and I'm sure you already do, that the standards of annexation typically require 50% development. But there's a whole set of criteria for which annexation can proceed without meeting that criteria. This happens to be one of them because it is significantly surrounded by city boundaries. Again, I mentioned there's only 86 feet of opening, and so it technically is called a peninsula. So that being said, we really appreciate your support on this matter, and we hope you'll make the recommendations to the city council for, again, it's really three items: approving the application, approving the neg deck, and authorizing the submittal of the LAFCO application. That'll take it to council. Should we get through council, we'll submit the application to LAFCO. That's a 3 to 6 month process unto itself. And so probably March or April of next year, this whole entire territory will be the newest residents to the city of Reedley. And that concludes my report, and thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Kevin, so the three residents that are in here,
There's two.
I counted three. I guess I misread then.
Nope. There. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And okay, so the two residents that are in there, is the developer planning on leaving those residents there?
So if you're looking at that map, the territory map, it's it's basically, if you divide it in half, that's the ground piece.
Oh, okay.
And then
so the northern piece?
The northern piece is actually divided. So if I can kind of describe this to you, so you can see on the exhibit identified as territory vicinity map,
right
above the label subject territory, you'll see that there's a line kind of running across the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So everything to the south of that is Grauens.
Okay,
so if you were to look at that same map, you can kind of see where the two residents are on Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
Those two residents are the ones we're most concerned about. The remainder piece on the northeast corner is actually vacant. There is a house there. It will be demolished, and that piece is about 6 acres, and that's what will be developed. So when I make you are correct, there are three residential structures. The two residences that are currently occupied are the two that face on to Fisher. Those are the two that we work very closely with. The developer, in trying to make all this work for everybody, has already committed to, and we will make it a condition of approval, that they will stub out water and sewer to each of those parcels. So that someday in the future, that cost will not be borne by those folks. Mm. And now they will have to take from that city connection to their house. That will be their responsibility. But we will be requiring water and sewer hookups brought onto the property.
Is there a time limit for them because of that? Because there is an expense in that for them to abide by that? And were they made aware of it when you guys got their consent?
Okay, so everybody was made aware of it. And so I mentioned a covenant, if you will. So the covenant actually lays out what everybody must do. It's got all the code sections. So it talks about when you must get rid of your septic. It talks about when you must hook up to sewer. And we presented that the landowners voluntarily agreed. The developer is not part of it. And we structured it that way so that it is there and idle. If there is no development, nothing happens. No harm, no foul. No development, nothing really actually happens. But I wanted to make sure that everybody was well aware of all the details of how this annexation would proceed and what exactly was going to be required from the developer and what exactly was going to be gotten for each of those residents. Ellen and I have met with the developer several times on the site with the landowners and had discussion on site with everybody. So everybody's aboard.
What light industry are we talking about?
If the sale goes through and there's development there, it would be a mini storage.
Oh, okay. So no big impact on those?
No.
Few. Okay.
As a matter of fact, we actually think that it's a great project in and of itself. Excuse me, because of the very comment you made, if you're living there and that's your home, you don't have to worry about lots of traffic or pounding of things or manufacturing that maybe runs all night or whatever the case may be. I know we've had some concern on the other side because the reefers run all night or those kinds of things. So we thought this was, in this particular location, a great use to go in there.
Good buffer zone now.
Good buffer zone, exactly. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Kevin. You guys have any questions for Kevin? No? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
So before us, we have resolution number 2015-14. And this is a resolution of the City of Reedley Planning Commission recommending to the City Council approval the annexation application number 2015-1 and the environmental assessment number 2015-20 dated September 16, 2015 and authorize the submittal of the city annexation application to the Fresno Local Agency Formation Commission. Can I get a motion to approve?
I make a motion to approve.
Can I get a second?
I second the motion.
Do we get a roll call, please?
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutierrez?
Yes.
Chairman Custodio?
Yes. All right. So now we come to the portion where Kevin gets to talk a little bit more. Planning project updates and engineering project updates, please.
So I'll try to be really quick. We are absolutely buried.
Really?
It's unbelievable.
It makes us happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great problem to have, but I do have great concern for my staff because they're working really hard and doing a phenomenal, phenomenal job. And, I wish I knew how to get it out in the public. Right now we've got Les Schwab, mm-hmm. that Gary's out inspecting. You know about the building right here.
It looks good.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah, it does look good.
The facade looks good.
Trailside Terrace, you may remember that. Mm-hmm. That's down on G Street. That's the big multiple family. The permits will be issued next Friday with hopefully groundbreaking in November, December. So Gary is doing inspections and plan checks and the issuance of those. We've got another 9,000 medical I've told you about numerous times. They're just about ready to pop for building permits as well. Caitlin, who you have met, I know, we've had to rearrange the workload. She is actually almost primarily doing plan checks for solar. She's doing 4 to 5 permits every single day for solar. So, you know, Gary's backup is really busy, doesn't have much backup, and so they're really swamped. You know, Ellen has, again, done a great job, as she gave to me, and it will be coming for soon, the Arts and Public Places. She did a great job with that. There's probably a half dozen projects that she's working on. Public Works. Engineering is doing well. If you're ever interested, you can go on the website and go to the engineering department under major projects, and you can see what's out to bid and what's moving along. Several park projects are, we've been doing notice of completions almost every 2 weeks with the council. We've met with the developer 2 days ago, who's getting very close to starting the Button Willow Myrtle, those 17 lots there. So that's moving along. We're meeting with another developer to talk about Kings River Commons, I think that's what it's called, Ty Barsoom's down by the river across from Manuel. That's coming along. So we are just really excited about all the things we got going. I'm really nervous because I don't know how we're just like always, don't know how we're gonna get it all done, but somehow we will. So it's an exciting time.
So we're gonna take a break. We're not gonna have these meetings anymore.
Oh no!
To give you a break.
No, okay.
We can slow you down.
Yeah, I mean
that's okay.
We can meet next year, and then they'll give you 3 months of just catching up.
You know what? The funny thing is it's coming through fast enough that it's kind of not catching up. It's just running really, really fast all the time. And the hard part to what we do, and I mentioned it earlier, you know, not only does Ellen process the applications, but then they're going to come back on the building side. So she, you know, that's just a good example of she doesn't get to pass it off. You know, once it's approved here before you, that's not the end of it, you know. Or, you know, when they bring the building permits in for the, you know, antennas, then it's going to end up going to engineering or the structural calcs or, you know, whatever. So we all, whether it be building or planning or engineering, we're just getting pulled in lots of directions to make sure all those projects are moving along as fast as we can. Somebody mentioned in our, Russ Robertson, our public works director, said the other day, he says, you know, I'm so pleased. I can't remember when he could look out his window and see 3 major projects going on at any one time. And I'm like, dude, that's just beginning, because the pipeline's still full. And we got developers calling, and there's things that were, you know, projects that are still a year down the road, but we're working on today to, you know. So as I've told you, that pipeline is still full and coming, which is really kind of nice. So that concludes my report, unless you got any questions or have any specific questions about any development projects or rumors or what happened to or...
What phase will the two businesses that are going to go on G Street next to Jadoons, those two parcels, they're gonna, that was part of that.
Right, there was the one that, that's actually between the...
Jadoons and the Designs?
It's not actually, no, it's actually between where the farm equipment is and the restaurants. Not restaurant, the Ideal Furniture, thank you. Mm-hmm. Not between Jadoons, it's between those two and then back across. That's Trailside Terrace. That is the one that's gonna start in November.
But they won't start simultaneously, so...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they will?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Well, you know, so simultaneously, I don't know what that means, because...
At the same time.
Well, you know, like one of the things they'll do is they'll scrape up the one lot in the back. Everybody does it differently, you know, and we've talked about that. Reedley family started with, they put in all the infrastructure first. Kings River Commons didn't. They came back and did it at the end, but it all ends up at the same time. So that one, I don't know how they're gonna start, but the project will be, they're gonna do front and back all at the same time.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
And Ron, a question for you. When are you guys gonna start on your buildings?
We will probably start the campaign to raise the money.
You don't have the money yet? Why didn't you tell me?
Well, I'm gonna come talk to you.
Get my check.
January 1, if not sooner.
That'd give you a break through the holidays.
We have to have X amount in the bank before we...
Oh, okay. So nothing this year.
The architectural plans are about complete.
Okay.
Just about.
So you don't plan on being ready for next fall?
I'm gonna say probably not. Probably the fall of 17. Now, if the money flows, sure.
Mm. Interesting.
So Pete, get your December 20th check out, so you got this year's write-off, and then on the 2nd, you write him another one for next year's write-off, right?
Figured out. Yeah. But to answer, Christopher, it's a 3-year capital campaign.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you. So future agenda items here, we don't have anything scheduled yet for the 15th or the 5th, surprisingly. Nope. The 19th, we see something here, but that's tentative.
It is tentative, yes.
Do you see any, do you anticipate us, you know, meeting again or a couple more times before the year's over? Is that a
Don't
typical?
Forget the Christmas party. Okay.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Christmas.
Can't believe so typically we would...
I know.
If anything, there may be one meeting in December. That would be it. And it would be the early
one. Okay.
Yeah, the first
one. All right.
So put a mud puddle.
Let's go ahead and adjourn this meeting.
Thank you.
We'll see you guys on the 19th.